This is Celtics Corner Shootaround on Primetime Sports Talk.
Welcome to the Celtics Corner Shootaround. I'm your host, Jack Almer, and the big news right off the bat here is that Boston Celtics star Kyrie Irving is set to undergo a procedure on his left knee this Saturday. Now, this procedure isn't supposed to be too big of a deal. Essentially, what the Celtics are announcing is that this is going to be a minimally invasive procedure to alleviate irritation. But if you're a Celtics fan right now, you have to be nervous. Irving is why the Celtics are even in playoff contention. Definitely have gotten some great production from guys like Al Horford, people off the bench in his absence, but this is a superstar league. If you're going to win a championship, you need superstar players. Irving is that, and if he's not able to come back for a significant period of time, if this is essentially the end of his season, then ergo the Celtics season is over. Now, do I still think that they can beat a team like the Milwaukee Bucks without Irving? Sure. I do think that they could be looking at a first-round upset, though. I do. An Al Horford-led team against a Milwaukee Bucks, against Miami Heat. I mean, that could easily be a seven-game series. It really could. I don't know. If I'm the Celtics, I'm worried. Of course, by and large, though, this is what this isn't a situation where the Celtics should continue to push Irving. This isn't Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah felt like, whether this is true or not, he was pushed by Celtics staff to come back. We saw the effect that had on his hip. Only made things worse, came back, not the same player that he was before the hip injury, before he tried to play through it in the Eastern Conference Finals. Does this happen to Irving if you don't have this surgery, if you rush him back from the surgery? You don't want to mess with this kid. He's 26 years old. Only going to get better, as scary as that is. There's still room for Kyrie Irving to get better. That should be mind-blowing to people. To get off track for a second, the Kyrie Irving trade is more about who Kyrie Irving is, is less about who Kyrie Irving is right now. The Kyrie Irving trade is about who Kyrie Irving is going to be throughout the next 5 years. Isaiah Thomas was 30 years old. Jay Crowder was declining even before he got moved from the Celtics. I would have loved to see what Ante Zizic looked like at the pro level, but God, the guy's barely playing a couple minutes with the Cavaliers, so he wasn't going to be ready on the Celtics to take that step. So, by and large, Kyrie Irving trade's a win. It's about way more than the player that they were getting at the time. It's about the player he's going to continue to be. Anyways, back to the surgery for Irving. Celtics fans should be worried about this season, but they shouldn't push Irving back. Boston should not push Irving back. Makes no sense to go on a run this year, guys. Really, it doesn't. It doesn't. You're not going to beat the Warriors. You're not going to beat the Rockets without Gordon Hayward. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible. In fact, I think they'll even struggle against the Cavaliers. I'm not 100% sold they can beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Toronto Raptors look pretty special. Never been high on them, as high as other people are, and I could come back to eat my words on that. But I do think that the Celtics right now could handle the Raptors. Cavs, Warriors, Rockets, all of them, I think, could beat the Celtics. And I think they would. I think they would. And you know, this is with Irving, even if Irving's in your lineup. I think those three teams still probably beat you in a seven-game playoff series. LeBron's LeBron. I know I'll go on primetime all the time. I'll blow steam about the guy because really just it's the flopping that gets to me. You know, I respect the player, respect what he does off the court. All of that I'm fine with. It's just the flopping and complaining and just whether this is my own perception growing up in Boston and always watching LeBron James play against Boston teams. But doesn't it feel like he always gets those calls? Doesn't feel like he gets every single call. That's just me. I've always been. That's the part with me, with LeBron James, that always gets me irritated. I know Hannah Brewitt on primetime radio will disagree with me on that. She loves him. I think she tweeted out the other day, I will die for this man. referring to LeBron James, which, you know, good for you, Hannah. I'm not going to step in front of a bullet for LeBron. Do respect the player, though. Do respect the man and everything he does. But, wow, that was a whole nother tangent there. But LeBron's just a phenomenal player. He's the greatest player of our generation. And he takes it up to another level when the postseason comes around. It feels like every year we're kind of talking about, oh, are the Cavs on the decline? I mean, even when he was back in Miami and things weren't going so well, that team still made the NBA Finals. They shouldn't have lost to the Dallas Mavericks. But that first season there, where there were all those questions about Bosch and Wade, that team still made it all the way to the Finals. Should not have lost to Nowitzki. So glad they did. Glad Dirk got his ring. But he takes it to another level in the postseason, and truly the Cavs did get better at the trade deadline. You know, they swept out a lot of the toxic energy that I think was surrounding that franchise. Cleveland's problem is there's only room for one diva per team, in my opinion, unless this team is winning like 80-some-odd games. 70-some-odd games, I guess. But that's the only way a team can thrive with two guys who kind of got a little bit of a personality, who kind of have that me attitude. As much as I respect LeBron James, I think he's one of those guys. I think he wants to be in charge. And granted, he's earned it because he's LeBron James. He's earned the right to take over a franchise. That's a point that can be debated. But I think, by and large, a team would rather have LeBron come in with his me attitude because he's the greatest player ever. But you add Isaiah Thomas into that. And IT just came from a situation where, in his mind, you know, he was a borderline MVP candidate. He was. But he was a borderline MVP candidate on an Eastern Conference Finals team. Now, the problem with that is that the Celtics are an Eastern Conference Finals team, but they're not an Eastern Conference Finals team in the sense that they were ever going to really be competitive against LeBron. You know, like, this isn't a team that I think anybody really thought was gonna make it to the finals, or even if they did, make some noise. I mean, I think that's where IT just kind of loses his grip on reality. You know, I see quotes and people get on IT for talking all through the beginning of the season. They're like, ah, kid's just gotta shut his mouth. Well, that's all he can do right now. You know, I mean, he couldn't play at the beginning. He couldn't play because of the hip. So yeah, everybody's like, oh, he's just talking. Well, you know, people are shoving microphones in his face. It's part of the media. He's excited to get back. He's, you know, talking about how good he's going to be when he gets back. That's all how I perceived his comments prior to him actually returning to the basketball court at the beginning of the season. Got to defend IT on that one, because I feel like a lot of people were upset that he was just kind of running his mouth. He's got nothing else to do. And the guy's working on rehab, but he still's got to answer questions. And there's still going to be people at his locker after games trying to talk to him. They can't ask him anything about the current game that was just played because he wasn't in it. So they got to ask about something. And that kind of turned into questions of longer term. IT just took them. But back to now I'm defending IT. Now I'm going to come at him a little bit. The guy was a me guy. And they shipped him out. Because it wouldn't work with the Cavs. Because essentially, the regular season is the preseason in Cleveland, you know? So things can go wrong. But, you know, come postseason, this team is locked and loaded. They got rid of IT. They brought in some good players. I like Larry Nance Jr. I like what those guys can do on the Cavs. I think the Celtics are in big trouble if Kyrie can't come back this year. I think they could be looking at a first-round exit. Now, I don't think they will. If I had to bet on it, I would say that the Celtics, can beat either the Bucks or the Heat, which is Al Horford. I think they can do it. That it wouldn't surprise me if they did. Terry Rozier has shown a lot of development this year as a backup point guard. And this is another point that Hannah and I disagreed on, I guess I should say, because I was pushing to trade Terry Rozier at the beginning of the season. When that whole Serge Ibaka kind of fiasco went down at the beginning of the year, I was all, or excuse me, at the end of last year, I was all about, you know, not making that move then. I could see why Ainge didn't do it then, because if you bring in Ibaka, you're only going to get him for a season. There's no way you sign Ibaka and Hayward. So I get it. I get why that deal didn't happen then. But if a similar deal came down the pipeline at the beginning of the season, I was all for making that trade. You have Hayward. You have Irving. Trade the backup point guard who really hasn't shown anything and bring in a veteran who can do something. But I'll eat my words there. I'll 100% eat my words there because Terry Rozier has showed up as a backup point guard this season and has won the Celtics a lot of games that they shouldn't have won and helped the Celtics stay in games when that second unit comes out. We've been talking all year about the scoring problems that Boston's bench has had. But Terry Rozier, it comes down to him. If he's not scoring, then that's when we're talking about the bench's scoring problems. Terry Rozier shifts the needle for that Boston bench, and I think he, along with Horford, can win a first-round playoff series this year. Not sure about that second round, though, because now you're looking at the Pacers, maybe the Cavs, depending on how this whole seeding shakes out. Maybe the Raptors. We'll see once these brackets are finalized. But those three teams are scary, and all of them are a possibility to see in the second round, and all of them might beat an Irving-less Celtics in a seven-game series. I'll give them the edge against the Pacers, though. I've always thought that the whole Pacers deal was kind of overhyped. Credit to what Sabonis and Oladipo have done this season, but I think they just came really hard at the Celtics, and Boston just wasn't ready to handle them on those nights. I'm not really worried about Indiana as much, although I do think they can give the Celtics headaches if they don't have Irving in the lineup. But if you have Irving in a playoff series, you're going to beat the Pacers. Stop with the whole Pacers talk. Somebody said that to me the other day. Like, the Pacers have won, what, 3 out of 4 games against the Celtics? Can they beat them in a 7-game series? No. No, they got lucky. Boston got lucky when Terry Rozier stole that ball to win them the one game that they have won against the Pacers, but no. Celtics, with Irving, win. Without him, they might win. Might win. This is a team that if they get an easy path to the Eastern Conference Finals, so we're talking Heat/Bucks and then Pacers, they could do it without Irving. They could do that. But again, it's going to be another empty Eastern Conference Finals, like the one last year. When you see Toronto or you see Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals, it's going to be like, all right, we made it here. Great. Now what? You know? Now they'll just get their doors blown off. But Celtics fans better hope Kyrie Irving can come back. Otherwise, this season's pretty much done. But don't rush him. Do not rush him. And I know the fans don't really have much to say in this, but Celtics front office, do not rush Kyrie Irving. There's no point in bringing him back. It's a long shot whether or not he does come back to win that championship. Even if he is back and you still get that easy path to the through the playoffs and you find Cleveland waiting for you right before the finals, you still might lose. You still might lose. If there is even a sliver of doubt that this could be a long-term problem if Kyrie continues to play, I say you sit him. You shut him down this year. You shut him down this year. And you wait for Hayward and Irving to come back, and then you have a competitive team. LeBron might not even be in the East by that time. Well, that's a topic for a different day. Anyways, thank you all for listening. That's all the time we have here on the Celtics Shootaround podcast. Stick around. We'll be here next week for episode number 2. Thank you all for listening.